listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, January 29th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
Welcome to those joining us live as well as those listening to the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief, and those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives the death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And to get right into tonight's topic, a metaphysical discussion of savants. And, I think this is going to be a fascinating discussion, and I know, Dr. Hunter, you had brought this to my attention with an incredible article, and I'll let you take it from there.
Well, I honestly, it begs a whole discussion here. It has always piqued my curiosity about savants. And, savants are generally, I'm going to just read a description here. Savants are generally a condition when somebody displays a serious mental impairment, often some form of autism, but there's this island of genius, they call it, amidst this disability. So that's different than somebody who's just a protege, who's like overall high IQ, really brilliant. That's a different thing. Savant is where someone can have this extraordinary capacity in one way, but generally speaking, as we scale it, have a lower IQ. And again, that word impairment to a large degree in so many other aspects. So it's always, I found that always fascinating that generally the damage is in the left hemisphere, in congenital savants, but the right hemisphere is the one that becomes like this island of amazing things. However, now that in and of itself is a fascinating discussion about the brain. I look at a soul's energy, what that extraordinary ability might be, because if it's music, why music? You know, if it's something like, where does that come from? Like, is it isolated to a part of the brain, or is there a spiritual component here? That's my question. However, I came across an article I said, now I hadn't given this a lot of thought in my life, and it's someone who becomes a savant at a particular time of life with no explanation. So there's this, I'm going to get his name here, a Dr. Darrell Treffert, T-R-E-F-F-E-R-T, who's a psychiatrist who has been studying this savant syndrome for quite a number of years. And in fact, he was a consultant on The Rain Man. He's got quite a history and an extraordinary guy. But he's been it's kind of like an onset savant ability. And generally speaking, by his statistics, it comes on and on around like that average age, about 47. And I'm going, what? Wait. It's past hope for me yet, but I'm thinking this is kind of interesting. He, at the time of this article in, Science American, Michael, is that it?
But, Scientific American. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 14 cases, 10 are female, 4 male, and the age of onset with a new skill averaged about 47.2 years. And the new skill was art, painting, drawing, and in a few cases, math, calculating, and music. And I'm thinking, whoa, there's the right brain again. So what causes that? What brings that on? And according to his research, it wasn't precipitated by, or most of the cases are not precipitated by a trauma, like a brain injury. So this sudden savant syndrome, as it's been called, I'm going to read from this article. In sudden savant syndrome, an ordinary person with no such prior interest or ability and no precipitating injury has an unanticipated, spontaneous, epiphany-like moment where the rules and intricacies of music, art, math, are experienced, revealed, producing almost instantaneous giftedness and ability in the affected area of skill set. And because there's no underlying disability, such as what occurs with congenital or acquired savant syndromes, technically sudden savant syndrome would be better termed sudden genius, of course.
That's what I'm waiting on. I mean, I'm not 47 yet, so I guess I still have hope. But then again, I've always been kind of counting on the fact that I'm just a super late-blooming prodigy. But
You are, of course. But I find that fascinating. I think, there's two parts in this is what happens in the brain. That would be an absolute organic discussion. But the other, to me, which in that whole metaphysical realm, is why that one particular area that's artistic, and why would it be music? Why would it be drawing? Why would it be something?
You'd mentioned mathematics as well, which would definitely, I would think, be more left brain, logic centered, right?
Yeah.
And
true.
You could also, I've also thought, I was thinking about this the other day, music, really engages in an entirely separate section of our brain in a lot of ways, in the sense that people that have gone through traumatic events might not be able to speak, but they can still play music and understand music. And it's interesting, music has a mathematical component, but it is undeniably creative. So it does have a certain left brain, right brain synergy to it, which is interesting.
Suppose the same could be said of art in that there's still the mechanisms to create, which comes from the left brain.
Sure.
So, but predominantly art is from the right. So I don't know. It's fascinating.
It is. And, it's, where does it come from? How does it just line up? I mean, there is something I was thinking about earlier wherein, the concept, by the way, if you can hear a little bit of rain in the background, it's just a new sound effect we're trying out. No, I'm kidding. It's just raining here in the area. But hopefully it's soothing and not disrupting. But going back to the discussion, The idea that we only use 10% of our brain power is a misnomer. It's a myth. We're using all of our minds all of the time, but a lot of what's going on is happening in the background. It's been shown that when you're not consciously thinking about something, maybe a problem you've been working on for a while, something that's been occupying your mind for a long while, even if you're not consciously thinking about it, there is a section of your brain that is still processing and investigating it. Mm-hmm. That's why, especially a lot of times when you're absent-mindedly thinking, daydreaming, you're just kind of drifting off, not heavily engaging your mental resources, a lot of times you have an aha, eureka moment because, you know, your mind is still working on it. And it's just not something that you're consciously aware of, but it's still going on. So, you know, we're using all of our brains all of the time to do things like, you know, maintain our body functions, maintain all of that basic, for lack of a better term right now, programming that keeps everything running smoothly. Mm-hmm. And that continues to work on problems that we're consciously thinking about, just not at the moment. It's really fascinating. And, you know, this notion of, congenital savant, okay, people are, you know, sometimes born geniuses, of course, right? Prodigy, right, is really what that would be. Acquired savant would be the interesting thing, you know. I know we've kind of touched on them already, but for giggles, I'm just going through it again. But, I mean, acquired savant.
Sure.
Usually traumatic injury, some kind of, you know, something happens, physical, strokes, just something changes the pathways in the mind, the neurons. So what is it that's being opened up? How is new information being accessed? You know, really, what is the underlying, source for that? And it's fascinating to think about. I know at times I've been pretty good about following along, but I was doing some techie things in the background. Have we touched on anything regarding, like, the Akashic Record or...
No, we haven't. We're going to get right into that because that's an interesting. But I would like to address something that you said, Michael, about the different pathways in the brain. I have described computers like that to people learning how I was, of course, not trained in technology growing up. There was no such thing. It was a big deal one day to get an IBM Select, typewriter. So learning computers for me and being borderline dyslexic was painful. Oh my. It took a long time, but the way I started to see it in my head was I'm opening neural pathways in my brain. And it was to access them, open them up, stimulate them, like massage them, and get new electrical wiring happening in my brain. And other folks, generally my age, or thereabouts, that's the way I explain it, is think about it as you're accessing neural pathways that haven't been accessed before. But this is where, even when that happens, I still have to learn a process. It doesn't come automatic, natural. You know, it's like, oh, here's a new word program. Oh, I can do that, because I don't. It just means that I have better skills at reading, studying, you know, trying it out and not being afraid of it and moving forward. So I'm just saying that somebody who's a savant then has this natural capacity to know where to go, which even, you know, in studying computers, we don't know where to go. You know, getting to those neural pathways. So as I'm, you know, kind of thinking out loud here, that is the brain, or does the brain have these little corners or little rooms that can access, everybody can learn a musical scale, for instance, and everybody can learn, basically how to draw a stick man. But would somebody then naturally know how to hear music, hear it in nature without being told? Would somebody have that natural ability to know how to do a portrait suddenly, you know, without having some education and practice. So this is where I would go into what about tapping into a universal library, so to speak, where there's a bigger open pathway between our mind self that includes the brain to that, we call it the Akashic Records or something, that it opens a door. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's the information and that extraordinary natural ability that's without effort or seemingly without effort. So I can, basically what I'm saying is I can work on all my neural pathways and I'm still learning about art and skill and lots of things. I really challenge myself, but it doesn't come natural that way, you know. And I love music. I can play basic stuff on a piano, but a concert is not going to happen. So could I then, or could any of us, you know, slowly open ourselves up to expanding that consciousness, tapping into this higher source of information that could connect with the brain? You know what I'm saying? It's like mm-hmm. organic to universal pathway and start doing things we couldn't have imagined.
Well, I mean, it's fascinating when you really think about what is possible, because it's been documented to happen before. And, you know, when you said, I think the average age of 47 for these things happening, that's just the average. I mean, next week you could be a, you know, classic pianist.
Good, there's hope yet.
But, you know, now I think at this point it's, and as a thought experiment, you know, I say jokingly wild speculation, but it is an effective thought experiment to think about, just to expand your mind about what, you know, even maybe if not necessarily verifiable, but what is potentially possible in the world around us, and just to think about, you know, different things. So I'm just going to throw out a few things that I've been thinking about. Of course,
please.
Wild speculation, just thought experiments, is, you know, no real way behind this, but let's start out with one. Accessing skills that you've had in a previous reincarnation or a incarnation of your existence. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, a fun one. Maybe something is rattling around it. It's, you know, you're able to access it all of a sudden. If it's something, you know, especially with sun savants. Another one, you know, we already know that certain information is always passed on through genetics from one generation to another.
Epigenetics.
Yeah. And so what if something is coming through from an ancestor? Just it happened to be buried in your DNA and just something clicks, something lines up, and voila, you can access it. You know? Another one, and this was pretty out there. I just happened to come across thinking about it just a moment ago. The multiverse theory, you know, multiple dimensions. Sometimes dimensions intersect. What if just you happen to intersect with yourself via a different dimension? You just pick up a skill that different version of you had. Why not? If we're going to have fun, wild speculation, just an interesting thought. But that's why the funnest and most interesting and most provocative questions you can ask are the ones that don't have definitive answers.
Well, I love it. I think all of your points are relevant, and we've had discussions on all those, like especially when it comes to quantum physics, quantum mechanics, and mm-hmm. quantum entanglement. You know, we've had these discussions in the past, but relating them to this possibility of sudden savant, you know, it's could we have a sudden awakened memory? If wherever that memory comes from. And again, as you said, Michael, reincarnation, epigenetic. It could be from another time, space, dimension, an alternate reality. Dr. Shirley made a comment. What about the 22-year-old who woke up speaking Mandarin and forgot how to speak English? He'd been in a coma. That's what begs the question of, are we being too linear about how we proceed to study. And I know the tendency in science and psychology, educational psychiatry, is to not allow for metaphysical possibilities, but that's where I always want to stretch things. So, you know, it's what's the science of it? Well, maybe the science could be proved in time. So I think we have to put these possibilities on the table, you know, rather than keeping a limited viewpoint of it, is stretch all those, wow, all those possibilities that seem so far out there, but they could be. A multitude of reasons.
And it's it's a good way. It's a thought experiment to kind of push your mind to be open. But at the same time, you know, always remember to be grounded. It's fun to speculate about what could be and to think about interesting explanations. But, I always have to remind myself to be grounded because I have a good imagination.
Me too.
But, you know, one thing I was also thinking about, of course, this is a throwback to a old pop culture movie. Well, I'm sure everyone's probably seen. Hopefully no copyright issues, but The Matrix, you know, you had that whole famous scene where he's premise basically, we all live in a virtual reality. He gets pulled out. They go into a virtual reality again, but now they, because they're aware of it, they can control it. So a famous scene where they upload knowledge into him and he goes from knowing nothing about martial arts and he wakes up and famously says, "I know Kung Fu." And now I'm not saying that robots are controlling things and that we're living in a virtual reality, although
who knows?
The whole simulation theory of existence is kind of the interesting philosophy du jour lately.
Possible.
but you know, it's kind of an interesting thought. You know, what if it's just such an interesting trove of possibilities. And things like this, like the notion of sudden savants, it is one of those things that injects mystery and kind of a bit of wonderment into the world because it's something that you verifiably is happening. You can point to it and say, that happened. How did that happen? And it's, you know, at this point in our knowledge, we can't explain it.
Well, I'm with you on that, Michael, be in wonderment of it because it just boggles my mind and it poses so many questions. And I think that's what I like to do anyway, is I don't need to find an answer all the time. What I generally end up talking in is theories because I don't know. There was a time in my life where I thought I knew a few things, but not really, because there's so many other things to learn. And I think we have really just skimmed the surface on this one. It's fascinating. Anyway, it's a fascinating discussion. As metaphysicians, we need to address these kinds of events or occurrences with a very open mind, taking it to any number of possibilities without being set in our beliefs. And again, just for anybody who's researching, there's the congenital, the sudden savant, which is, as Dr. Shirley just mentioned in the chat, from an injury or an event. But this other go ahead.
Acquired savant, acquired. The injury.
Thank you for the correction. The sudden is without any explanation. So, looking at all the possibilities, who knows? And I guess there's just hope for all of us.
Well, I mean, even acquired savant from an injury, that's still mystifying. I mean, you get smacked over the head with a frying pan and, oh my God, I know how to play the violin. I ought to try to do more head damage, cranial damage, and see what kind of pops out. Now, of course, you know, that's going to be one of those you'll eventually read me about me in the Darwin Awards. But great, you know, great conversation. And, of course, we're going to be drawing some cards later. And I hope, are we going to be doing the Inner Oracle and Tarot this evening?
Oh, we have so much fun with it, don't we?
Yeah, I think that it's become a mainstay, and I enjoy it.
I do, too. I don't mind a bit. I'm shuffling my cards as we speak, if you can hear them. You've got rain, I've got card shuffling.
The rain stopped, now I have to get a sound generator somewhere.
There we go. Anyway, I think as metaphysicians, we have a responsibility to, individually and collectively, be open to possible theories and allow new ideas to come to us, because that's the way it happens, right? Mm-hmm. The more open your mind, the more other things start accessing in our brain. I've always said I don't think there's anything new in the world. I really don't. I think it's just the a different expression of the same thing, or we're seeing the same thing differently,
right,
which puts a new light on it. So what we might have had a revelation, 100 years ago, it would be a similar revelation only 100 years later with different stimuli and a different perspective. So, I mean, I think that's what we have to keep in mind too.
Oh, absolutely. And, we still are learning so much. You know, the notion that, some people think, we know basically everything now, right? We know how everything works, everything, we got it all down. Well, I mean, nobody who knows anything would say that, because even the most learned mind would know that the more questions we answer, the more questions we find, and the more you learn, the more you realize how much you truly don't know in this massive and wild universe and existence we live in.
Well, and the better able we can discern through garbage. That's as simple as I put it.
Yeah.
You know, it's the more awake you become, you can look at something, that's just silly.
Yeah.
So, I was talking to a group of ladies last week at a store, and I said, I heard that, in the last couple of years, one of the most bonkers things I had heard is somebody using tarot card over the chakras, much like Reiki. And this woman said, how would they do that? I said, I have no idea. People just make stuff up. I don't know. it's then I would look at that and go, I think that's very individualized. I don't know how anybody could teach that. But the two don't mix with me somehow. But to her, it does. And so we have to be really careful to know what's maybe just individualized and silly for others versus what actually has some, actual basis mm-hmm. for study. And that's how I get to the half-truths, you see?
So, life is massive and complex, and it's just important to have critical thinking.
Yeah.
And to challenge things.
That's what I have to, we need a lot of challenge these days.
Oh, man, haven't we always? I tell you, that's the thing. And, this is something I've grappled with just since we're on the topic. This is something I've grappled with. You look back on history and you realize, oh, my God, people have been trying and, sometimes really failing at keeping a reasoned, kind of enlightened movement going in human history.
Mm.
And you could look at that as a negative, but I don't. I say, you know what? People were willing to fight for reason and, a sense of real truth in the world. And it's something that's never going to stop. We're always going to have to fight for it. Each successive generation, it's up to them to fight for that reason, that truth, that reality, and hang on to those objective facts. So I don't know where that came from, but just something I wanted to say. And I guess the other thing I would say is, alluding to how you can have an epiphany when your mind is wandering. If you have something that you are struggling with and grappling with, and you just can't kind of figure it out, a situation, a problem, anything, maybe you have writer's block. Take a walk, take a break, take a stretch, mm-hmm. let your mind relax, wander, regenerate, and a lot of times it'll come to you. But
it's true. It's amazing how that's really therapeutic.
Yeah.
It is. And, but therein lies another question. How is it we have epiphanies? We've opened ourselves up to some universal energy, and something drops into our brain, because I don't think I'm that brilliant to come up with that myself. But what I am good at doing is listening, you know, well, for the most part, you know, it's like, oh, I have an idea. Okay, well, what's my expression of that idea? I can't tell you how many inventions I've had, and 6 months later, I see them on the market. Mm. And I go, oh, what? So was that me tapping into that collective consciousness, if you will, that I got the thought, or did they just beat me to it? I don't know. But how is it then that so many people on the planet can have the same thought at the same time, seemingly? I don't know. It's just questions, lots of questions.
Well, I don't know. This might not have any, you know, solid evidence behind it, but I'm pretty sure anytime I see something in, you know, like on a commercial or advertised, something that I thought of before, I'm pretty sure somebody psychically stole it from me and created it and are profiting off of my idea that I was, you know, far too lazy to actually try to implement in any meaningful way. But, anyway.
You know, before we pick cards, I know Edward is up first, but he made an interesting comment in the chat that I'd like to say. He said there's a gentleman by the name of Bert Goldman who's proposed the multiverse theory in regards to acquiring talents instantly through a process called quantum jumping. Now, I am going to look that up.
That's now, very interesting.
That's thank you for that, Edward, because I'm going to write it down too before I lose the feed on the chat. But quantum jumping, I'm going to share a dream that I had the other night, which when I woke up at 1:30 in the morning, I thought, oh my God, I'm having a nightmare. I had to get up and have some water and walk around. But I had this immediate dream after going to sleep of being somewhere else. I was me, but not me, like I was in another body. And there's all these events and all these people, and I'm freaking out in this dream saying, where am I? Who are you? Where's my car? No, that's not my car. And somebody talks to somebody else, said, oh, I think she's had a mental breakdown. And I'm looking at them saying, I'm having a mental breakdown because I don't know where I am. Where am I? Who are you? And I mean, it was like that for I don't know how long in this dream. But debriefing, it was so impactful. I thought about it for days. And I thought, what if in this dream, in a dream state, I, like body snatchers, you know, I beamed into another time space, into somebody else's body. And what is that? Or myself on another plane of existence. But it was so real. I thought, whoa, I was seriously displaced in this dream. So I had to share that because I don't know, quantum jumping, you know, lots of possibilities. So I know it sounds ridiculous, but.
Well, it's the thing. I mean, we live in a universe of infinite possibility because, I mean, we do not have the perspective, the, you know, current knowledge base to truly know what you might say is the ultimate truth of existence. I mean, is it possible for us as, you know, in this existence as linear beings to understand existence? I mean, time itself is something that, you know, is time set? Is it only illusion to us because we're going through it? Or is it something that's constantly changing and shifting and constantly changing and shifting? Is it splitting off into multiverses? All questions we cannot answer, but are critical to knowing if we are going to know something more, you know, core to the truth of universal existence.
By the way, just as a footnote before we pick cards, Dr. Edwards says this Bert Goldman was also known as the American monk, who claims his ability to paint artistically came from using that technique, i.e. quantum jumping. I am so all over researching this now. I'm so excited because it takes me in another pathway of research. And I love that. And I'm so grateful.
Oh,
see how wonderful this little group is. You know, we come on Wednesday nights and I know Michael and I are having the conversation, but we have all this other feedback in the chat, and I don't know. It's like we're having a party. I love this.
It's always good, always good discussion, and we always usually get a lot of interesting feedback from those that join us for the live recording of the broadcast. Of course, we encourage people to listen to the archives and the podcast as well, but to those that join us for the live recording, you get a little bit of extra, interactiveness in the sense that we have a back and forth that I really love. And thank you again to Dr. Edward for bringing that up. It's fascinating. I'm going to be looking forward to looking into it as an idea. It's very interesting. But
it is so.
All right.
Okay, Michael, do you want to pick?
That's what I was going to say.
Pick a card from our inner oracle self-discovery cards. And then once you do that, I'm going to draw for Dr. Edward from the tarot.
All right. So first up, I have number 32, sympathy and empathy. Mercy is compassion in action and fulfills a kind of paying it forward. Sympathy, or sensitivity for another's plight, and empathy, relating to another's plight, each require a need, compassion, and action to fulfill a soul's need to explore, investigate, and educate. Always extend the benefit of the doubt until there is no longer a reason to do so.
Well, Edward, I pulled the chariot in support of that, and I love the chariot for this. In the major arcana, it's the number 7, which is always about detail. But in the case of the chariot, it's moving forward in balance of, all the energy, both positive and negative, but it has everything to do with forward movement. And what I'm getting from this is part of perhaps a learning curve, another way to see it, because I know you know this, but another way to see how to, what you bring to the table, how you manage people, knowing when to step forward, knowing when to step back, knowing when to speak, knowing when not to, sympathy and empathy. But you are definitely having this forward movement energy. But if I have this right, it's honing in on leadership, honing in on manager ability, being able to put that forward. It's like what comes from you through that wisdom. So that's what I get from that. So I hope that makes sense to you. All right, we have Dr. Jeff up next, Michael.
And Dr. Jeff, I pulled for you number 44, attitude and disposition. Enthusiasm and or an agreeable disposition, along with good manners, assures individual happiness that inevitably influences others. Drawing this card may indicate a time to review a change in attitude regarding someone or something in your life. This can be positive or negative. Be proactive. Ask yourself, how hard can it be? A can-do attitude makes it happen.
Whoa, and in support of that, I got the magician in the major arcana of the tarot. That's, alchemy, right? And it's taking difficult things, perhaps, and getting that positive slant on it, taking a difficult, let's say, situation or challenging situation and being able to make it work, seeing the positive and rather than focusing on the negative. But keep in mind, too, the magician likes to create. So I think that's what attitude and disposition, that checking in with yourself, Jeff, and in this creative movement that you're in, I think people gravitate toward you for that, but you might be going through another transition of your own, and oh my, that's a powerhouse. So I like it a lot. That's great. By the way, a little feedback from Dr. Edward on what we had up for him, and he said it resonates with him. So thanks for the feedback. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So Wendy is up next, Michael, I think. Oh, Dr. Jeff said his word for the year is create. That's exactly what the magician does. Good for you. Thank you.
Very nice, very nice. I'm glad that these are resonating.
Awesome.
And Wendy, for you, I pulled number 27, gains. Every choice and action has a trade-off and result. What are you willing to trade for this result or gain? A secondary gain has a price for getting what we want, and the price is denial of the truth of a situation or behavior. This may be a time to assess if something needs to be traded for improved benefits. Healthy decisions are sure to bring about positive results and satisfying gains.
Oh, interesting, Wendy. I got the Page of Clubs, Page of Wands in tarot language. And with respect to gains, I think this is about communicating truthfully who you are and being willing to risk to disclose who you are. That's my feeling about this and where I'm going with it. So not to worry about how it's being received, if you're being true and good and do no harm, do right, you know how to check in with yourself. But it's about changes, bringing about changes and being willing to voice those changes. So what are the gains? What do you have to give up in order to benefit? So it's letting go of part of your old self, I think, what this is. And where you ordinarily might have stayed quiet, maybe you need to speak up. Maybe where you've spoken before, just stay quiet. So it's that trading that off a bit, but more it's about the truth of self. That's what I'm getting here. But the clubs are always about changes, right? So, and communication. So I hope that resonates for you. Just be really truthful with yourself and you can't lose. You just can't. So. There you go.
Well, I was going to say, I didn't see anybody else that the name in chat for a card. So if we didn't see your name, or if you would like a card and you haven't thrown your name in the chat, please do so now, and we'll make sure to grab one. But, you know, Dr. Hunter, I'm really feeling the need for some card pulling. And
Have my inner oracle.
I was going to say, if you could be so kind and do me the honor of pulling both, I'd really appreciate it.
I have them right here. Oh, and Wendy says she's right there with us on what we had mentioned, so thanks for that. I got for you number 4, past, present, future, Michael. My book. I have to go get my... I'm a little bit... I've got a messy desk here right now with cards all over the place, so bear with me.
Oh, I'd like to see somebody that doesn't have a messy desk. They're just... it's fiction. It's a myth. They don't exist.
That's true. I think so, too. The 3 universal laws of personal responsibility are... You're accountable for your past, present, future. Don't expect others to do for you what you can do and should do for yourself, and don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor. Now, what I like, you know, all those points. I think it's just a moment of checking in. Look how far you've come, and look at where you're at and what your goal is. So, what I've drawn for you in the tarot is the 3 of diamonds. I like the 3 of diamonds for being, it's like a restoration of faith. You know, my old teacher Magda, late teacher, would say the gypsies taught her that that's the church card. It's renewed faith, hope, belief. We don't use the church necessarily as a religious sense here, but it's where people come together to express that hope. And so in relation to your cards, I'd say that there's a joining of forces where you have like-minded people that lifts you up, some elevation here where you're feeling more energetic and hopeful. That was my point.
You know, especially in the first, you know, that's something I've been thinking about, especially trying not to take ownership of things that aren't mine to take ownership of, and you know, not doing for others what they should and could do for themselves. You know, I'd also been thinking about, Well, it's just a card in his title. Just, I've been thinking about a lot of what you just said, and, you know, what you, renewed faith could be renewed application of those thoughts of trying to find mm-hmm. that balance. And, well, gosh darn it, it resonated with me.
Oh, good. But absolutely, in support, one supports the other. So, yeah. And well, of course, it's always about how you interpret it. But I find that a really good affirmation.
Yeah.
I do.
Well, very exciting. It's interesting how these things come up, and, you know, a lot of it is for me, especially, you know, with the, you know, in a Oracle and things like that, you hear it, it makes you think about a current topic at hand, and in mm-hmm. these cases, in a lot of cases, it's something that I've actively been thinking about, but.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Well, as a final close, do you mind choosing a card for me out of those inner Oracle cards?
Oh, if you dare. All right. Let's see.
Awesome. What have you got?
Oh, I really like this. This is wild card number 7, Hope.
Oh, look what we were just talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope, in and of itself, does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last fail-safe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
You know, that's... Oh, wow. You talk about appropriate... I pulled the Ace of Spades, Ace of Swords in tarot language, in partner with that. Now, success through effort is the simplified way of explaining what the Ace of Spades is. It assures achievement, but there's effort behind that. So what you've said in hope, you know, mm-hmm. I've recently been making some pretty big decisions, like which way do I go at this time in my life, and what do I want to do? I mean, I will always do readings, I will always have my courses, that's a given. But there's other ways we support our income, other things that we challenge ourselves with, and rather than getting a part-time job and, you know, going back out there in the world that way, I recently decided just to push my own work and get back into being more entrepreneurial. But this is that affirmation to me, Michael. It comes with pushing that energy forward. It means it requires some effort on my part and energy. We know that. But it gives me a lot of encouragement. I appreciate that.
Good. I'm glad. And, you know, I thought it was a great card to pull. I was happy mm-hmm. that I saw it. I'm glad that I hope it applies. I think it's a great card to kind of wrap up on, too, for the evening.
Well, I'm good. I'm so glad you put the bad one away and picked out the hopeful one.
No, I had to flip through a few of them, but I found it. I'm kidding. Actually, I pulled from the middle, and it just came right out. And
that's awesome.
It's just one of those things. You just love to see it. But, well, you know.
As always, what a great conversation. I love these existential conversations and probing. It's wonderful.
Nothing better than the existential. But, well, you know, it's been, like always, it's always a great discussion and conversation with you, and going over these topics and probing. I mean, we're metaphysicians. We probe what it means to be a human being, what awareness means, what does this reality mean? And we ask the questions that don't have answers, because it's, a lot of times, you know, will we ever truly know? For some of these, hopefully, maybe down the road, either us in a different version, or, you know, one of our descendants or something will click, or in the next version of existence we'll know. But right now, we push our minds and we expand the boundaries of what we think is possible by asking these questions. And
thanks for everybody sharing the little stories in the chat room, talking to each other, connecting. When somebody giving somebody else a call, talking about their experiences too, that's what we're here for. It's that that connection place, like a family of sorts. So
absolutely.
And again, I just want to say a thanks to Dr. Kelly tonight for always being behind the scenes and making this happen and building the school and bringing us all together, because there's always a catalyst, isn't there?
Absolutely.
And that chain reaction of bringing us to this moment.
Well, and speaking of Dr. Kelly, he'll be joining us next week for a broadcast, and he's going to have a topic that he'll be talking on.
Awesome.
Paying it forward with kindness.
There we go.
So, looking forward to that. So, as always, thank you everyone for joining us. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Have a good week, everyone. Good night.